Hello and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, the podcast dedicated to igniting your entrepreneurial spirit and empowering you to conquer new horizons. In this podcast, we chat with inspiring entrepreneurs on their journey to success through some amazingly insightful and expansive conversations. These episodes thrive on thought-provoking chats where our guests fearlessly explore their path to success, sharing their experiences, failures, and triumphs. No topic is off limits as we deep dive into the talked about and not so talked about pieces it takes to build a business, overcome limiting beliefs, deal with personal struggles, and everything in between that shapes our lives and our businesses. I'm your host, Kat Polsonelli, creator and founder at The Lotus Effect, where we believe that success is not just about strategies and tactics, it's about cultivating a powerful mindset and creating customized business operations that align with you and your true purpose. Whether it's mastering time management, improving productivity, enhancing leadership skills, or simply fostering a growth-oriented mindset, we'll provide you with the tools and strategies to flourish in both your business and personal life. I'm so excited to have you join us today in this episode, so get ready to feel empowered and inspired as we learn together and from one another on how to rise above challenges, break through limitations, and unlock our full potential. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me today on this episode of Real Chat with Kat. I am so excited for this conversation. You guys have no clue. I was just recently on her podcast. We're going to be talking about that later as well. And so I'm so excited to have Kim Gross here today to be a part of today's podcast. So Kim, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Kat, for having me. I'm so excited to just chat with you. Real chat with Kat.
Love it. We're going to have so much fun. And Kim, you have so much knowledge, and I love the way that your brain thinks and the things that you want people to focus on. So as we dive in, please do us a favor and tell everybody, you know, who you are, what it is that you do, and what got you into your space.
So I am Kim Gross, and I'm the host of Masks Off for People Pleasers and Perfectionists. I'm a soon-to-be author. I'm in the middle and process of writing my book, which has been so freaking hard. Wait, can you swear? Can we swear on your podcast? Okay.
You're good.
I just want to make sure. And so I am also a life coach and podcast host, as I said, and mostly it is my desire, my passion, my mission to help people, particularly teens and young adults, to be aware, like super aware of what it means to be showing up in the world with a mask on and how they hide their true authentic selves because they're too freaking afraid to show up in the world as they are. And as a result of wearing these masks, whether it is the people pleaser or the perfectionist or in high school, the class clown or the super uber competent one or the rebel one, whatever the mask is, when we are hiding our true selves, we split off from, we sever from our true selves. And what can end up happening is, and what we see in our freaking world is, anxiety, depression, addiction, loneliness is huge, loneliness, and unfulfilling and or toxic relationships. So I just really want to help people to A, recognize, be aware when you're wearing that mask and you're not showing up, and be super focused on your patterns, and then to teach them what to do next on how to heal so that they can start taking those masks off and show up as their true selves. And that's where the freedom is. So my goal is to help people to go from the prison of the mind to paradise, which is freedom to be ourselves.
Mm, I love that. So beautifully put too. And you're right. Like, right. That's such a huge thing
in our society, especially now. And I feel like COVID definitely helped with that. But the depression, the anxiety, like all of these pieces, the isolation that so many people have felt and are feeling, I feel like it's just shot upward from what we've seen over the last several years. So I love that, you know, your focus is around that and letting people understand that they aren't alone. There are tons of us going through that. And there's also ways to get out of it, because I think that that's something that we forget a lot of times is you get stuck in like this cycle and you're like, it just is what it is, right? Like, this is my life. This is what it is. I go through this. And it's like, but you have the ability to make the change. You just have to want to do that.
100%. And what we often are doing is we're living out a pattern and not a life. And when we're stuck in those patterns or our subconscious mind, we tend to think there is no solution. And this is my lot in life. I felt it when I was in my teens and young adults, and a lot of my adulthood, if I'm honest. I felt like, oh my God, is this it for me? Is this what life is supposed to be? This mm-hmm. suffering, this loneliness, emptiness, this like nudgy feeling of something just isn't like right, you know, something isn't right. So, but that's not the case. It's just because my patterns just kept showing up and I didn't know a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So there is hope.
And I love that you bring that to the surface too, you know, that you say that, you know, you went through that, and even not only in your childhood, but also in your adult life as well. I think that that is something that a lot of people need to recognize, because you have a lot of people who, you know, they had a traumatic childhood. So yes, there's a lot of things that come from their childhood that stemmed and kind of brought them to where they are. But then there are also adults that maybe had a great upbringing or didn't have the stresses that a lot of other people had. And then all of a sudden they get it and they're like, well, what's wrong with me? Like, why am I broken? And it's like, but there are so many reasons. There are so many traumas, whether it's a, what we call a big trauma or a little trauma, right? Gabby Bernstein talks about your big T's and your little T's. There's so many things that can affect you. And depending on who you are, right? If you're an emotional person, you may be affected a lot more than other people. If you are someone that is very open to feeling other people's feelings, it may take you down more than it does someone else. Like, there's so many things out there that can attach themselves that could put you in a depressive state or an anxious state or a feeling of hopelessness. And it's so pertinent to understand that it happens at any time in your life. And again, like we said, right, you have the ability to change. You have to really want it, and you have to really be ready to push the envelope, to push through that darkness, to find it. And I think that's where a lot of people get stuck. And I'd love to hear your take, you know, and people that you've worked with and things that you've seen as well. Where are the challenges, right? You've got someone that's like, I can't do this anymore. I want to make a change. And then on the other side, they're like, but this makes no sense. Or this is super scary. Like, I could stay here. At least I would know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Where do you feel like you fall? Where do you feel like your clients fall? And kind of what is the starting point on that?
So first I want to say too, even for those of us that are doing the work and we've come a long way and we've healed a shit ton, it doesn't necessarily mean that the patterns go away completely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I know that I have shifted so much in my life. I've had so much transformation. However, I can still, that people pleasing and that perfectionism that those masks that I wore so well can still show up from time to time. The difference is that I can recognize it much quicker. And once I recognize that it's there, then I have my process. I have my 5-step power pathway process that I take myself through so that I can move through that more quickly. So I want to just add that caveat before I actually answer the question, because it's, and Tara Brach says it all the time, and other wisdom teachers that I've listened to will also say that it's never just like an all or nothing, right? Even mm-hmm. recovery, the process of recovery is not this like straight up hill where it's perfection and you never see or never feel anything again. That's not yep. the case. It's this forward, back, right? One step forward, maybe two steps back. And all the while you're still making this forward progression. It's just, that's how recovery is. And that's what we're talking about, is recovering from our old way of being.
Yeah.
So now to answer the question you're asking about, yeah, it is so freaking hard. Oh my gosh. Like, it is literally going into a dark cave, or sometimes I would say that it felt like there was this deep abyss of pain that would never end. Like I would just fall into it and, oh my God, I cannot see my way out. That's mm-hmm. how it used to be back in the beginning. So for someone who is listening and they are in the beginning of their journey, it may feel like that. There were days that like, oh my God, days, weeks, months, what is going on? It's so freaking painful and dark to be in this place. And I knew partly because one of my core values is personal growth. So I feel like I came into this world, my soul came in to grow and evolve. So I may have had that slight advantage that kept propelling me forward to keep pushing to go through the hard work, because otherwise it was too hard. Just like, let's quit and give up. Like, mm-hmm. like you said, it's a lot. Sometimes ignorance is bliss, and yeah. sometimes it is easier to stay with what is familiar. But it came to a point, and this is what I do see in other people too, who really do make the transformation and they do the work. You get to this tipping point where you're like, ah, I really can't tolerate anymore feeling depressed. I can't mm-hmm. tolerate being lonely. I can't for one more freaking moment say yes to someone when I know I want to say no. Or I'm so tired of not speaking up for myself and feeling like I'm a second-class citizen, or I'm invisible, or I'm a no one. You just get to a point where that pain is bigger than the comfort to just stay in the old or in the familiar. And it's just chipping away a little at a time, you know, going in and, well, where does that come from? Where did that come from? That feeling of I'm not enough, or I'm not worthy, or playing small, any of those types of thoughts, beliefs that we have from childhood, and that's where it comes from. But to just really examine that and then, okay, what can I do to heal that? And what can I do to shift it? And I really have found, Kat, in my experience, is that it's twofold. It is about the inner child work. And this is just my belief. Some people might disagree. Like Joe Dispenza mm-hmm. might say, if he were on this call with us right now, he would say, Kim, absolutely not. You can totally change your life as long as you change your energy, change your thoughts, and you can change your life. I have found that that does work. Mindset shifts do work. But I also found at the same time that I couldn't bypass spiritually by not doing the healing work. I had to learn how to heal my inner child. I had to learn how to show up for her in a way that no adult showed up for her when I was an actual kid. Mm-hmm. I had to learn how to create safety for her. And I had to learn how to have that relationship with her, because I never did. I was just completely cut off from my little girl. And I was hard on her. I was critical. I was judgmental, just like the adults were in my life. So as long as that was still going on and that was beneath the surface of consciousness, it didn't matter how much I tried to change my thoughts, change my beliefs. The energy still was, nope, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. So I really had to do both. Like I had to mm-hmm. heal her, learn how to do that. And now when I fall into, oh, I don't want to go and try out, not try out, but go do that speaking gig. And it's because fear, right? Fear is holding me back. Okay, well, now I can look at it and say, what do I want? Well, I want to speak. I want to speak to teenagers. I want to speak to young adults. And if it's truly is the mindset, and my little girl's okay, I've created safety for her. She's like, all right, I'm chilling. I'm in the back of the bus. Now it's like, all right, what's going on with my thoughts? And then I get myself into that energy of abundance, worthiness, gratitude, service. Like, yeah, I want to freaking help teenagers and young adults. This is important work. I want to spread my message. Then I can shift my mindset and do the two prongs.
I love that. You know what, though? I will totally agree with you on needing to heal your inner child. And I say that because not only because of myself, but if you look at other people around you and the things that frustrate them or piss them off or the things that almost throw them into like a tantrum, like hissy fit. I mean, if you think about how many times have you seen another adult and be like, you are acting like a child.
Countless. And
in reality, I mean, yeah, think about it. I mean, when I really started to sit and kind of think about that phrase, I'm like, oh my, like, think of how many people actually are acting out in literally that childhood form, because that was the piece that is not healed, was never protected, has never been dealt with. And we seem to think that, you know, no, I'm an adult, so I know how to act. No, actually, SpongeBob don't. But if you really think about it, and this was kind of a turning point for me as well, when I started learning that I couldn't take on everybody else's emotions, that when people got frustrated, angry, irritated, pissed off, whatever, that it wasn't always my fault. And one of the things that I did with that is I just kind of started assessing, like, what is going on, right? And if I noticed that someone got really irritable and just almost dramatic, right? Like a teenager, I'm like, oh, that's your unhealed space. Okay, that's not my fault. That's on you to deal with. And it allowed for this huge separation so that I could start begin to own what was mine and let go of everything else I tried to own that was not. And that was probably the first time that I really realized that the phrase "you're acting like a child" really does pertain to the unhealed pieces that we are acting out in specific situations and we don't even realize we're doing it because we're so caught up in the emotion in that moment.
100%. And isn't that what children do, right? They just get activated and then they just act out in the moment. They don't have the capacity, the brain capacity, their prefrontal cortex isn't developed enough to say, oh, let me pause for a minute. Like, imagine a six-year-old, they're being bullied or whatever. They're having a fight with their sibling because they want something. Oh, let me pause for a minute and let me just check it and see what's going on. What am I feeling? Now, they don't do that, but imagine a world in which we do teach kids on how to do that. And I do think it is happening more and more in some schools where they are trying and starting to teach more emotional intelligence in schools. And I think that's great. And I hope they can do more of it. I don't know how plausible that is given in a school day with how much a teacher has to do in a school day and whether or not the parents are helping at home as well. But imagine a world in which when we see our children being activated, getting triggered, and helping them to go inward. Like, hold space. Okay, I see that you're angry. And see, that's the key, is allowing them to have the emotion that they're having.
Ooh,
I remember being a kid and not being allowed it. And then I perpetuated that same pattern with my kids because I couldn't tolerate when my kids were anxious. I couldn't tolerate when my kids were bored. I couldn't tolerate if they were angry, sad, or disappointed. So I quickly tried to fix it. Cover it up, make it better. Let's go get ice cream. Let's go shopping. Let's go to the spa, whatever. Just don't be sad, right? Because that's what my mom did with me. So now imagine if we could just say to our kids and hold space, wow, I see that you're really disappointed because you didn't get invited to Jack's birthday party. That must really hurt. That must really feel bad. Tell me about that. You know, and just so we're allowing space, allowing them to feel it, going inward. And then if they can just process that instead of shoving it down or discounting it, now they're learning something, a very valuable skill. So now when they actually become adults, they don't have to, as you just said, be an adult acting like a child, like grow the F up, you know, now they will be gradually learning how to do that.
Yeah. And that's that emotional intelligence, right? That a lot of us as parents don't even understand. You know, when I was growing up, mine was, you have no reason to be crying, or I'll give you something to cry about. You have no reason to be angry or upset, right? Your emotions for the longest time were completely invalidated. And that in itself teaches such confusion. And we wonder why a lot of adults today don't understand the emotions that they're dealing with, right? It's why a lot of, especially men, and I've seen this because of my children, that are, well, I'm just pissed off and I'm just angry. Actually, that's depression. But because you're male and you've never been taught to understand your emotions, you think that it's just anger, when in reality, it's something way deeper than that. And they don't have the capacity, they've never been given the capacity to understand that, right? It's, you don't have a reason to feel that way. I will give you something to feel that way. Shut up and deal with it. You're fine, right? Like those kinds of things. And I know that depending on how you were brought up, but especially when it comes to men are taught usually from a really young age. And I say this because I did it with my boys for quite a long time, right? Shut up and get over it. You're fine. Are you bleeding? Are you broken? Great. Take off. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to deal with it. Right? Like, I remember saying that. And I know that that was said to me as well. And we see that as, you know, well, I'm teaching my children to be tough. Yes. And there's a time and a place for that, right? There's a way that that can be handled. And I think that our society needs to understand that emotions are not a bad thing. We are not meant to be robots. And being upset or being stuck in something is not a problem. But if you teach someone to understand what that emotion actually means, now we can learn to work through it. Then the emotion goes away. Then you go on about your day. And I think that that is something that our society as a whole is sorely lacking.
Sorely lacking. And I will say two things. Thus why we wear masks. Especially men, the mask of masculinity. Yep. Men are taught not to feel their feelings, not to be soft or, you know, female-like. They are going to be completely ridiculed if they are, right? So they are wearing masks. So that's one thing. The other thing that you're talking about, when you said that as a parent, we may say, oh, just suck it up. I'll give you something to cry about. And I did the same. So as when we as parents say that, we are, and again, this is not to blame parents, because I put myself in that same category. We didn't know what we didn't know. We're learning more now today. So when you do know better, you can do better, right? But Gabor Mate says that when we abandon ourselves, or we will as children abandon ourselves to stay attached to our caregivers. And if our caregivers are telling us that the way to be, the way to do it is to suck it up, don't show your emotions, don't feel your emotions, feelings are not allowed, whatever the case is, well, we're going to listen to what the adults or caregivers say to us, because that's our safety. And so we will abandon what we know and feel to be true inside of us every single time to stay attached. And every time we abandon that little girl, that little boy inside, that's trauma. That's a little T trauma. That's trauma every single time. Then now you want to look at our society as a whole and wonder why we are so probably the society with the most addiction, the most anxiety, the most depression, suicide, in debt, whatever else you want to add to that list, than probably any other society there is.
And very triggered, right?
Yes.
Very triggered. Everything is a problem. Everything is an issue. Everything is, you hurt me, you may. We are living in a normal society where victimhood is on a pedestal.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't say that to offend anyone. I don't say it to hurt anyone, but it's the reality. And especially from someone who has been in an abusive relationship for 10 years, I know what it's like to live in victimhood. I know what it's like to blame everybody else around me for everything that is going wrong and not taking my own responsibility. And what I found was really interesting when I started learning about victimhood and what that word actually meant is, we think of it as we're in control by saying, well, it was his fault. Well, they started this. Well, if they would have said this about me, then, you know, I wouldn't have had to react like this. You are handing all of your power to someone else to allow them to say, I did this to you. There is so much empowerment in taking that back and saying, you know what? I know what you said. You probably didn't mean it that way. This is how I took it. Can you explain? And giving them the space to say, oh, my bad. No, that's not the way I meant it at all. Let me re-explain. Because none of us think the same, right? We have similarities. We have things that overlap, but we each have our own perspective. It's just like if you took one text message and you handed it to three people, I guarantee you all three people would interpret it slightly different, right? And it's the same thing when we speak our words. We think that we understand the tonality behind it. But in reality, we're putting our own tonality on it because more than likely you've heard that phrase, you've heard something similar, or the tone caught you off guard and then immediately took you back to a situation that you've been in. The emotions take over, the rest of the brain flies back, and you walk into that emotionally charged situation, and then you immediately go, well, it's your fault. Well, you said this, and this made me feel this way. I'm all for sharing your emotions, but there is a way to share your emotions where you are taking ownership of those emotions versus, you made me feel this way, and I don't like it, so you shouldn't say that again, where then you are giving all the control to them and telling them they need to treat you a certain way so that you can feel a certain way.
Ah, I love it. Speak it, Kat. Go. I love it. Oh my gosh. What you just talked about there is 100% the premise of my book that's coming out. And my book is a memoir. It is my life. But at the same time, I'm also trying to teach and share themes in there. And what I'm 100% about is taking responsibility and ownership for my life. I lived in victimhood too, the whole time. A people pleaser and perfectionist, almost by nature, especially the people pleaser, is in victimhood, right? I mean, the power is given to everyone else because a people pleaser will put everyone else's needs ahead of her own. A people pleaser will make sure that everything is okay. A people pleaser is afraid of conflict. Won't set boundaries, all of those things, living in fear, living in, oh my gosh, will I be rejected? Will I be liked? That's victimhood. So, and there's no freedom in that. Let me tell you, because I lived it for so long. So for me, my work has been about how to do the healing so that I could be free. I can come out of that victimhood into sovereignty and freedom. And I love the serenity prayer because it's so simple, sometimes hard to implement, but it's just simple because at the end of the day, it's God, give me the serenity or peace to accept the things I cannot change. I cannot change or control people, places, and things. The only thing I can control or change is me. That's the only thing. So however people show up in front of me, I can't control that. Mm-hmm. If they're going to come with their emotional reactivity, like you just described in that situation, I can't control that. I can't prevent that. All I can do is control how I then respond to it. Do I want to respond or react in the same way and meet their emotional reactivity with my emotional reactivity, which I did for years, by the way, and then just like round and round we go, more and more suffering? Or do I want to take ownership and come from my own personal power? Like you said, rather than giving my power to the other person, I know like, oh, okay. And 99% of the time, if I am feeling triggered or reactive, it is because there's something still in me from the past that still needs to be healed or like looked at. Like, why am I feeling this way?
Yeah.
It's usually never about the other person. The other person's just showing us what we still have inside of us that wants attention and is old energy or remnant from the past at some point.
Yeah. It's really interesting when you think about the psychology behind how the brain works and how it is the one that makes the decision on like what it holds on to. Like, oh, that was a bad situation. We're going to put that in there for later. And this is a bad situation. We're going to put this one in for later. When you could be consciously be like, oh, yeah, it's fine. It wasn't that big of a deal. I'm done and it's over with. And then the next time you have something similar happen, all of a sudden all these things start bubbling up. You're like, what the hell is going on? It's so interesting. I think that's what fascinates me the most is understanding that aspect of the brain and how it kind of picks things apart. And in that, it also means that we have the ability to then tell it what is true and what is not. Just like you said in the beginning about, you know, when we were around a parent and we believe what that parent said because we needed to feel that attachment, we needed to feel like we were wanted, like we were safe. We took those beliefs and we made them ours, even if they weren't actually true, because that's what we needed in that moment. And we still continue to do that. But the coolest part is that you have the ability to show the brain that that situation is no longer real, that you are safe, unlike it thinks, or that this is not where you are going to go. Even if it's like, yeah, but well, we did this before, so why wouldn't we do it again? You're like, well, no. If you look at the patterns, if you look at what I've already done, this is actually the new truth. That was a big thing I did for myself for a really long time, because I'm a very logical person. And so a lot of this, you know, think a different way and stuff like it didn't work for me, right? I was like, this makes no sense. But what I did realize was I could find the patterns in the things that I was doing. And then when my brain would come back up and be like, yeah, but remember when we did this? I could be like, yeah, but I did this situation different. I did this situation different. I did this situation different. So that's not real anymore. And you really do have to reprogram the way that the brain sees things, the way that the brain believes in specific things. It's literally called neuroplasticity. You guys can look it up. It is the coolest thing I think I ever discovered when I started learning about reprogramming the brain. And it just made so much sense. Because if you think about it, we create habits all the time. If you work a job, you have a habit in the way that you do things. If you're at home and you're washing the dishes, I guarantee you probably have a habit in the way that you wash your dishes. The next time you take a shower, look at the way that you wash in the shower. I guarantee you have a habit of doing the same thing the same way every time. The brain attaches to those habits, but we always have the ability to break those habits. That's why people that smoke can stop smoking, right? That's why people that have addictions can stop having those addictions, because you are changing that habit.
Yes, I love that, because that has been true for me in my life as well. I've seen both. And that's where I want to go back to just adding like a little caveat to the whole recovery thing that I talked about, that jagged part. You know, so we're talking about patterns and habits and addictions. So just even like to keep in mind that even though, yes, we can change the way we do it, and I have totally changed the way I do things. And then for anyone who's saying, well, you know, here's the thing, Kat and Kim, I was doing really well with my exercise and my eating for so long, like for months, and I was doing a new habit, a new pattern. And then one weekend, I went away with some friends and I just went off the wagon. I was eating like shit. I had this and that. Oh my God. And then think that it all fell apart. So it's not the case. That's just like a little setback. Mm-hmm. What happens is sometimes we think all or nothing. There's that perfectionistic way of thinking. So we think, oh, we had this little slip, this little setback. Now I'm going to go all the way back to where I was before when I was not working out at all and eating like crap every single day. That's not the case. It's just a little slip, a little setback, because we're not perfect. And then you don't have to go back to the familiar way of being. You can still pause in the present moment and say, okay, now, yep, I did. I ate a whole thing of Oreos. And I did do this weekend, by the way. This is a true story. I'm not going to lie.
They're so good.
This is so, it was so funny. They were gluten-free because I'm gluten-free. I found gluten-free Oreos. I think I ate the whole thing. I'm still paying for it. But so here's in real time, right? Here it is. It's like my mind does want to go back to what was familiar and just eating junk food and eating unhealthy all the time. But I know now, because of what you just described so beautifully, I can go back and I can look at all the times in the last several months where I ate healthy, I ate, you know, mindfully, I ate within reason. And I did create new neural pathways. And I can, in this moment, I don't have to go back to the past. I can go right here. No, okay, this moment, I'm eating healthy. This moment, and then you just go moment by moment. And then you can change your future reality by staying in the present moment and not going into all or nothing and not feeling like you have to go back to your past.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I love that example. Yes. No, that was perfect. And Oreos are.
Oh my God. And I was dunking them in my tea. So like when they just kind of like melt and I was just like one after another, I was like, man, and let me tell you, they're so soft. And guess when I did that? Guess when that pattern, I used to do that when I was like 7, 8, 9 years old. I could take an entire like sleeve or row of Oreos in a package, make a cup of tea, and just one after the other, boom, 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 boom. And it was like, when I did it this weekend, I felt like an 8-year-old. So see, we're like, that's what we're talking about here. Yep. It was a perfect example.
It was the perfect example. And what's so funny is I have to bring this up because, you know, that we're talking about all of this and everything. And I've been going through some similar things as well, as far as like having to remind myself of the patterns, because I'm giving a in-person speak at the Domestic Violence Center's luncheon that's in April. And I have this speech written out and I'm having a hard time like memorizing the whole thing. And my husband's like, yeah, but you know your story, you've shared. I'm like, I know. I'm like, but I have to stay within the time limit. And then, you know, what if I forget the pieces that I wrote down? And so I started kind of going through some of those patterns and I was like, okay, first off, if I do forget, nobody's gonna know. Right.
Except for
nobody's
you.
Nobody's gonna know but me, right? And like I have done this 100,000 times. Like I've spoke about this and everything. And so perfect timing, my husband sends me a message while I'm practicing my speech, and it's this beautiful painting with a little crescent moon in it. It says, "Be patient when you are becoming someone you haven't been before." And I thought, what a beautiful reminder. But also in this conversation, what a beautiful reminder. Because every time you change something, every time you learn a new pattern, every time you let go of something that was familiar to you, you are becoming a new person. And that takes time. And we have to remember that.
Absolutely. And that's so interesting that you even brought that up, because that's the space I was in this morning, is thinking about my book. Even because I started to feel, well, I'll back up for 1 second and add another piece to it, which was I've been working on settling my uncle's estate since May. He passed away in May, like May, June-ish. And there were times over the summer where I was really impatient and frustrated, and it wasn't getting done quickly enough. And I was trying to force it to be over because I just didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And then the last 3 months, 4 months, I've been focused on doing other things like writing my book. So I really have let go of the outcome of how fast it should sell. And now I find like I'm in this peaceful place of it's just happening when it's supposed to happen. The lawyer calls me and then we do a little bit, and then the accountant calls, we do a little bit. I'm like, and I have total peace around it. That angst that I felt before is gone. So there's freedom in that, right? Because I'm not causing myself all this suffering. So then with my book, because I'm about starting the third draft, I start to think, oh, I need to get it done by late spring, early summer. That's when I want it to publish. And then I start to feel this tightness and this anxiety, like, oh, got to get it done, because I'm working with a ghostwriter and we have to hurry up and we have to blah, blah, blah. And then I just reminded myself this morning, like, no, just be patient, as you just shared that your husband, be patient, breathe, relax, and just let life flow. Just flow. It will all happen in its time. We will become the version of ourselves that we want to become in due time. Just be patient and relax. And that I can tell you is a brand new mindset for me, because as a perfectionist who is completely attached to outcome, thinking and feeling in that way does bring me peace, does bring me freedom, and is so freaking new, but it feels so good. That's my paradise. Because when you're just like, and it doesn't mean that I sit back either and just like wait for everything to land in my lap. That's not the case either. For anybody who's listening, we have to take action, right? You have to take action. You have to do certain things. You're not going to manifest like the movie, The Secret. It's not going to just happen out of thin air and you're going to walk out into your driveway and, oh, there's like a 911 Porsche sitting in my driveway just because I said I wanted it. Like, nope, that's not happening. And my book isn't going to manifest itself unless I sit and write every single day. I just don't have to force it. I don't have to be anxious about it. And it'll happen when it's supposed to happen and the way it's supposed to happen. And that goes for anyone who's listening, who wants to manifest anything in their life, whatever it is.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a beautiful note to end on, Kim. Like, I feel like we've given so much in such a little time. So FYI, you weren't taking notes. I'm just saying. As we come to a close, Kim, I can't thank you enough for this conversation. Like, it really is something that you and I both know that so many people are dealing with on a daily basis. And I hope that this really makes an impact on those Me that it too. Needs to, you know, that really hear this. So as we come to a close, one of the questions that I ask all of my guests is, do you happen to have a quote or piece of advice you'd like to leave the audience with?
Yeah, I always say this every time I'm asked this question, or if I, even in my book, I talk about it as well. And it's so true. And I actually have just learned recently from a guest that I had on my podcast where he told me that this is something that he does, and I've now incorporated it. So every night before I fall asleep, when I lay my head down on the pillow, I will ask myself, like, if this were my last day and I didn't wake up in the morning, would I have any regrets? And it helps me to really focus in on how I want to live my life and what I want to do. So I'll be like, maybe I want to do, you know, this a little more. Maybe I want to open my heart a little more, whatever the case is. Because at the end of the day, why I love to talk about what you and I just talked about for the last, whatever, half an hour-ish, hour, I don't even know, is that I don't want the listeners or anyone out there to be on their deathbed and say, boy, I wish I had showed up as my true self. I wish that I allowed my friends, my family, my loved ones to see who I truly am. And I wish I didn't hide behind a mask. I wish I didn't cover up who I really am and didn't shine bright in the world. Like, that's what I don't, that's why I want to spread the message, so that people don't have to have those deathbed regrets, that they can learn how to live more fully with more freedom. That's my parting message.
It's so beautiful though. And you're right. And it's something that I've been thinking about lately as well. You know, like, I don't want to go to the grave knowing that I should have done this. I wish I would have done that. Right. And I think that you're right though. There's a lot of people that do that, and I don't want to be that. Even if it fails, even if it doesn't work out, I want to know that I at least tried.
Exactly.
So I don't go to the grave saying, oh, but what if?
What if? And really what would hold us back would be fear, right? If we did end up having that regret at the end of our lives, what would be the thing that held us back from being our true selves? Fear. Fear of taking off the mask. Fear of showing up as our true selves. It's fear. Fear of being rejected. Fear of being abandoned. It's fear, 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 fear. And so I don't want to live in fear anymore, because that's the prison. That's the mental prison. And that's the victimhood. When you live in victimhood, you are living in fear.
Yeah. Oh, such a beautiful ending. All right, Kim, then please tell everybody before we go, how can they find you? How can they connect with you? How can they be in your world?
The easiest and best way is my website, kimgrosscoaching.com, because on there I have my quiz, my people pleaser perfection quiz. On there, you can find my podcast. You can find where I am on all the social medias, Instagram, TikTok, wherever. And I also have a list of the people-pleasing traits, as well as perfectionist traits and what it's like if you are in prison. That's all on my website. So that really is the best way to connect with me, kimgrosscoaching.com.
Oh, I love that. And of course, everybody will have all that information in the show notes. Definitely take her quiz, just to, I don't know, just to see. You never know, right? But Kim, again, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today and sharing all these insights.
Thanks, Kat. It was such a great conversation.
Oh, thank you. And to everybody else out there, I hope you got some amazing takeaways. I hope that you were taking notes, and I hope that you use this as either your starting point or the boost that you needed to keep going in the direction that you really know you want to go. And if not, have a listen again. Be sure to connect with Kim through her website. Again, we'll have all that information in the show notes. And don't forget, until next time, do one thing positive for someone each and every day and see the difference that it makes in your life. So until next time, have a fantastic day. Hello again, and thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. If you enjoyed this episode and it brought tons of value, we ask that you please share, like, and subscribe. Your support means the world to us and helps us to reach even more inspiring entrepreneurs who can benefit from these powerful conversations. If you haven't already, be sure to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform, as this feedback is an amazing gift that fuels our growth and helps us to continually improve this podcast. Looking for an extra dose of inspiration and empowerment? Then be sure to connect with me on social media. You can find me at The Lotus Effect, where I share valuable resources and tips while sharing my own journey of being an entrepreneur. And if you're interested in learning more about my coaching programs and services, be sure to check out my website at the-lotus-effect.com. Once again, thank you so much for being a part of Real Chat with Kat. Your presence and support makes all the difference. Remember, whether you find yourself in the depths of the mud or on the path of growth, we all have a unique journey. And just like the lotus, some of us start in the dirtiest of mud, yet as we rise and grow, we blossom into something beautiful, unique, and truly one of a kind. To all of my visionaries out there, keep rising and growing as you create your own Lotus Effect.